it's three in the box again. But we actually kind of almost have a fourth now. First, I should probably mention we've got Kenny and Aaron sitting at the table with me.
Howdy.
What up?
This is the Meat Beast, of course. And now we've got Jive.
Our producer.
Our timekeeper, our sound maker, our general shit flipper, and possibly beer bitch.
Well, you're closest to the fridge still.
Yeah, I know.
Why do you think I moved seats?
Ah, you bastard. All right, so welcome back to... We are doing our third show for the year. Only three so far, even though we're into mid-January. I think that was fairly obvious. I did, if you're on my Facebook account at all, or friends with me at all, you saw that we were going to go back into production today anyway, regardless of whether the lockout was ended or not.
Yeah.
So,
and we just had the added benefit of them actually figuring things out and giving us a season.
It mystically happened, yeah.
Gary Bettman apologizing.
Oh, wow.
He did. You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable that he'd apologize. I still think I prefer the sign asking for no settlement until he was retired or fired.
Well, apparently, you know, he's saying this is the best thing to happen and don't have to worry about this again. But I believe he said something about that...
In 2005, right?
2004, 2005.
Yeah. I do believe
that. We'll see what happens in 10 years.
Well, and what's
eight?
No, it's a 10-year. It's a 10-year CBA
with an 8-year after.
Yeah,
they can,
after eight, you can.
But I think
they opt out.
I think both sides have to agree on it, don't they?
I don't
for
think
the
so.
Opt out.
No. I don't think so.
I think just one side has to.
Okay, maybe that was something that got shot down like right at the end.
As I found out with this lockout, it only takes 7 owners to vote to lock out.
Right.
So.
Oh yeah. Hey, that's a what is that? Less than 25%?
Yeah, that's not even a third. That's not even a quarter.
Because basically what they try to do is make it a super majority has to vote for something.
Yeah.
What they inadvertently did was make it so that a super minority can block anything, which is basically where and why. Part of the reason why the lockout we had was as long as we had is because it only took a few owners to
make it happen. Yeah. And the fun part was it wasn't even necessarily the poor market teams. You can't say it was the poor expanded teams like, say, Phoenix, whatnot, the South, where it's not generating.
Phoenix is owned
revenue
by the league, so,
yeah.
You know.
There were a bunch of the high fan base cash cow teams that were 2 out of the 7 to vote, one of them definitely being Calgary, who I don't think has ever had to struggle for revenue.
And I believe Minnesota was on that list as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember if Minnesota was. I believe Boston was as well.
Boston, Philly, Toronto.
And if you look, Boston and Minnesota are leading the league right now in salary caps for this season.
Yeah, they are.
Amazingly enough, Minnesota has a team, a professional team, that is not at the bottom of whatever respective league insofar as money paid out.
You know, I don't know. I think that's still kind of a dick move on Leopold, dropping some big contracts and then...
But, honestly, he wasn't unique in that. I mean, look at how many teams offered contracts.
Interesting
at
take,
at the 11th
though.
Hour, you know.
Interesting take on that, though. Did he actually do that to try and help make sure once the lockout was over, there'd still be enough buzz that it wouldn't be playing to an empty arena?
Yeah, probably.
Because, realistically, enough people are pissed off and got rid of their tickets and don't want to go back.
Oh yeah.
Well, hopefully
it
makes it a lot easier for us to get to some games.
Well, I'm
still trying to decide whether I'm willing to spend money on it. I mean, especially I think it would be more fun to like head to Cook Arena or any of the other arenas to see a high school match at this point.
Or how about you go to a local bar near your arena and go watch the game there?
Yeah.
Support the local businesses.
Exactly. Who really got hurt.
Yeah, those guys lost the most.
Yeah, I mean, these teams didn't lose anything. They're not going to... The fans that are hardcore are going to come back, for the most part. You know, it's those businesses that aren't going to gain that revenue back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, after our experience seeing Houston at the XL right before Thanksgiving, let's hope that they get the A squad back on the concessions rather than the fucking D squad.
God, they have. Well, first of all, they're going to at least expect a couple of these games to sell out, and I'm sure they have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, enough people have scrambled to go put their money up. It's, I don't know. I'm having a rough go. I'm really having a rough time. I love the X. I know I'll be going to the high school tournament at least one of the sessions, but
I know I still end up going to a game.
I'm sure I will, but right now I'm still bitter enough going, I don't want to give them any of my money at this point.
I understand that sentiment, you know, 100%. You know? Well,
don't be bitter at hockey. Be bitter at the NHL.
Well, exactly. I'll still watch the game, and I'll still, you know, support the team, but I don't want to support the owners at this point.
Right. A buddy of all three of ours, I went and saw his kid play in Pee Wee's the other week. And that was actually, you know, watching a bunch of 12-year-olds on the ice. That's a good time to watch, man.
Well, and that was a total rout of a game, if I remember correctly.
I think it was 10-1.
Nope, 11-1. 11-1.
No, I think the last goal was 10, if I remember correctly. I thought it was 10.
The score chart I saw on that game was 11-1.
Maybe. Pete might have got a little...
Yeah, he might have been a little overzealous.
Although that last goal was literally...
I think my son will have one more goal.
Hey, his son got an unassisted shorthanded goal. Seeing a 12-year-old get an unassisted shorthanded goal is a pretty sweet thing to see.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that has been good about the lockout is getting to catch just some of the games that you never would have thought to have gone to.
Oh, yeah.
Just because. Just to see a game played and go, you know what? Yeah, I'll go watch your kid play. And holy shit, your kid's team is actually really good. And
right.
I haven't seen kids play in a long time. Great.
All right. So, yeah, lockout's done. Obviously, there's some consequences in the next, or not maybe not consequences, but some adjustments that need to be made by the teams in the next couple of years.
You're seeing a lot of signings here in the next couple of days to teams filling out rosters. I think a lot of camps will be supposed to be starting in the next few days.
Unofficially, I know the Wild have had some practices.
They've had some unofficial skates. I think camps you're starting on Friday, Saturday, something like that.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then we're hoping for a first game on the 19th. No schedules have been released at this point.
Which fits in very, very well with us Minnesotans with Hockey Day Minnesota falling on the 19th.
Yeah. Yeah, and
hopefully they'll do the right thing and have a Wild game at home.
The rumor right now is the 19th, the Wild will play away in Colorado with them playing at home on the 20th in the X. So still on the same weekend as the Pond Hockey Tournament and just kind of helping extend Hockey Day in Minnesota by an additional day, turning it more into the full weekend that they've always tried to have it be.
Yeah. Well, you know, and at this rate, I mean, we had Hockey Day in Minnesota no matter what, whether the NHL came back or not. And that says a lot about our fan base here in Minnesota that, you know what, it's like, you know, we don't need the NHL to have Hockey Day in Minnesota. We're not dependent upon an NHL team. We've got a very solid youth hockey league going on in Minnesota. We have very solid high school, one of the best high school tournaments in the country.
Everybody signs up for the pond because there's what, three different lakes doing the pond hockey tournaments.
I don't know if it's I think it's just the one lake, but I think there's like 20 rinks on that one lake.
I mean, there's the one official and that one just with the sign up,
and that's a nationwide international tournament that people come to every year now.
Yep. And It helps prove that, yes, there are plenty of ways we could have been enjoying hockey without them, and kind of helped us with how we were looking at changing the direction of the show.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
Bringing that up.
Screw the league. Go Minnesota.
Bringing that up. Anybody want to bring up, say, something collegiately speaking at the moment?
A lot of good things happened with the Gophers last night, and actually in the past week and a half.
Including the Mariucci Classic. They
jumped back up to number one by...
upsetting BC.
Smoking BC.
Oh, payback.
What was it? 8-1?
Yeah, 8-1. Yeah, 8-1.
Yeah. One.
Wilcox in that tournament was phenomenal. I think he was somewhere in the 50s for saves with one goal against.
Yeah, and it was, 7-0 until the last 5 minutes of the third? Is that right?
Insane.
Garbage goal.
It was nice to see the payback from last year with Boston knocking us out last year in the finals. Knocking the Gophers out, I should say. It was nice to see him just whoop up in Mariucci.
You know, we still have... a fair amount of games left to be played.
True.
And a lot of things can still happen.
One game does not make a season.
No.
At least not until March.
Although, last night they kind of cleaned up on Notre Dame, the number two seed.
Yeah.
Helping assert their number one spot overall.
4-1.
And didn't that end up knocking Notre Dame out of second into third?
Potentially. I haven't actually looked at
it. It was a little confusing. I saw Notre Dame
2/3.
And I know they're in second, so I assumed they got knocked down to third.
Or it could have been, depending on the two polls.
Oh, good point.
It says number 2/3 in the article.
Okay. I think that was from Russo.
Guessing, no, I'm actually looking at the WCHA main page now.
And thank you, WCHA. You're making it nice and confusing for us.
Number 1 in the nation. I think still seated at number 5 in the WCHA.
Let's find out.
Due to statistics and what have you.
Yeah, still sitting at number 5.
They got to be sitting
there. Sitting at number 6, but they're 2 games back on everybody that's above them outside of North Dakota. North Dakota's even up on games, but as one more win.
And the difference is the Gophers are undefeated outside of the conference.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's the in-conference things that are putting the Gophers down that far.
You're right.
In the WCHA.
Which makes you wonder why more WCHA.
Well, upcoming this weekend, they are playing a conference game against Anchorage, Alaska.
The bottom team overall. 1-10-3 is their current record.
And the Beavers are second to last, if I'm correct. Correct?
Michigan Tech?
No.
I'm not looking at the overall. I'm looking at the WCHA.
Yeah, Bemidji.
Bemidji's in 9th right now. Alaska Anchorage is in 12th. Michigan Tech is in 11th. Colorado College is tied with Bemidji State right now.
Okay.
CC was Lucia's previous team.
And CC's been having a really rough season. So
I expected a much better game, like a much tighter game. Not better. I should not have used the word better. Much closer and tighter game when I was watching the CC games.
Yeah,
it really wasn't though.
Well,
there was one that was close.
Score wise, it was close.
There was the tie, but
play wise, it didn't seem close at all.
No.
Josh, what did you say Alaska Anchorage record was right now?
1-10-3.
You know, you can't discount a team as just being an easy win right now.
No, you can't. I mean, especially in the WCHA.
Obviously, if they can take 2 W's this weekend against Alaska Anchorage, it's going to bump them up in the WCHA standings and solidify that number 1 spot still. But, you know, you can't discredit a bottom feeder team either.
No, you can't. And that's an old joke going back to going back a year or three.
Yeah.
inside joke, sorry, people. What else was I going to say about? I wanted to bring up the fact that next year we won't even be looking at this same stand. We'll be looking at the Big Ten instead.
Very interested in to see how that's going to all play out, especially with some of our other Minnesota teams. I know they're talking about continuing the WCHA in some form or another.
I thought the WCHA and the CCHA or whatever.
We're gonna combine
some sort of.
So I mean, that would be what you'd have: North Dakota in there, you'd have Colorado College, St. Cloud State, Duluth,
UMD.
Basically, it would be
Mankato, Bemidji potentially.
Yeah. What the thing that's upsetting me is losing the rivalries that we've developed well.
But you look at how many games we play even outside of our conference.
True.
You know, Notre Dame, BC, Michigan.
We
play all over the place. So it's not like we're heavy in their conference. But
the Fighting Sioux, though, getting to see that rivalry.
We're still going to play.
I remember reading.
It's not going to be the same.
I remember reading about this when it was first mentioned that they were talking about a Big Ten conference and, you know, losing some of the rivalries that we have built up, that the Gophers have built up against some of these other teams that are around us. And they said that it's going to be almost indefinite that they'd at least have a home and away series against each of our main rivalries. We're still going to have, you know, we're still going to be playing North Dakota. We're still going to be playing St. Cloud State. We're still going to be playing Mankato. Still going to be playing UMD. I mean, there should be no reason not to do that, especially in this state.
I didn't think it was a home and away. I thought it was just a...
Maybe it's only one series.
Yeah. I want to say it's just one series when we moved to the Big Ten.
Although, speaking of home and away, I don't really see this too often, at least that I've noticed in WCHA hockey or in college hockey in general. Mankato State and the Gophers have a home and away series coming up, and I think it's farther down the schedule, but they're playing one game at Mariucci and one game down in Mankato.
Wow, I really want to get up to Ralph Engelstad.
Absolutely.
I want to pay to sit up in the bar that's up top over their goal, That's where I want to sit, and I want to head over there. It is a beautiful arena, even though I hate the team.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Exactly.
Fire him already.
No, that was perfect. He's so much better than you at this.
No, and you know, and with some of these teams being so close, I wouldn't be surprised to see a home and away series. I mean, you know, it's a short bus trip from Minneapolis to Duluth or Minneapolis to Mankato.
And don't the Gophers have choice over their non-conference schedule?
I believe they do.
So they could, I mean, as a just travel considerations, they could book really heavy in Minnesota and North Dakota games.
Well, I know the football team at least had choice because they're playing freaking damn near high school teams just to get the record better. Yeah,
playing a bunch of D3 teams, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's got to be a choice in there.
Now, since I don't have the info in front of me, I'm going to ask real quick. Anybody at first bully to the U.S. for taking the World Class Juniors gold.
Hey, here's to the U.S. Cheers,
great
boys.
Playing and way to payback Sweden. That's another wonderful payback that we had in the last couple of weeks.
Canada didn't even get a medal, though.
Oh.
Well, you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable!
Well, you know, you got to keep in mind, though, there's always at least four teams that are going to be solid contenders. You're always going to have Russia, you're always going to have U.S., you're always going to have Canada. And then it might alternate between Sweden, Finland, and maybe the Czech Republic.
Well, I mean, Finland didn't even make it into the... They made it into the... I think they did okay in the regulation round.
Right, but you got
to
figure...
To retain their spot.
Between Sweden and Finland, there's going to be one of those teams that are going to be vying for top four.
Any one of those teams potentially can go down once it hits the semifinals.
Oh, yeah.
So there's enough great competition there.
I don't think Canada not meddling is a slam on them, because you know what, they're facing much stronger competition.
Well, the U.S. was looking fairly weak at the beginning of the series. I mean, they weren't playing.
They didn't meddle last year.
No, and the fact that they came back and Canada started off very strong and they didn't do a whole lot.
Well, last year it was Sweden who took us out.
Yeah.
And so, once again, why it was great payback. The play was great. I thought it was hilarious because I totally expected you to, since you were at my bar 2 days before, drinking with my roommate, asking him to open the bar earlier than was legally allowed to watch that game live.
I watched it.
And he invited you over to the house. He went, feel free to show up. It's going to be me and my kids sitting on the couch in our underwear, but feel free to come over. You guys threatened to be sitting on my couch in my underwear with them, and I was so happy.
Well, not in your underwear.
Nobody. That nobody was up except for Pete. And he didn't even have the game on. He forgot. He totally forgot.
Oh, and he was giving me crap about it.
So I walked out at, probably about, 8 in the morning? So it was just into the second period.
Yep.
He changed the channel, and within 15 seconds, we scored a goal.
Nice.
I didn't even have time to finish flipping him shit.
We must have been started watching about the exact same time, because it was right about 8.
Yeah.
Central time. Is right when I started watching.
And that first goal.
Bam.
Yeah, it was a matter of seconds.
That was Grimaldi's first goal.
Yep.
It was right about then.
And then
And that was kind of a... that wasn't Grimaldi's, was it? Because Grimaldi had, I think, he had the last two goals.
Now, whoever it was.
Oh, no, it was Grimaldi.
Grimaldi had two goals. So they were both in the second
period. And
then
we had that junk time at the end.
Yeah, the junk time was somebody else, but Grimaldi had the two goals in the second period.
Yes, and that was Grimaldi's first, and it was a good goal.
Yeah.
His second goal was like a squirter that is like.
Somebody banked it off his hip, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was
probably hurt him more than anything.
It was a sliver of a hole that the goalie had open, and it just squirted in. I mean, it was like...
Well, and he was trying to argue that it got played with a high stick.
Yeah,
was not the case.
Well, you know who
It did not hit the stick at all. It hit the gloves.
You know who I feel really bad for throughout that whole series? Germany. Germany, unlike their past, you know, like World War II, did not stomp all over Europe. I think...
Oh, my God. Really...
Well, I think Germany...
Way for staying topical there, Kenny. Huh?
Germany in total had less goals than I think the top 8 players had.
Who was expecting Germany to win?
Nobody.
Okay, then why does it matter how well they did?
Oh, you know, they still got in. Sorry.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Really? We're going more local? That's why you bring up Germany?
Well, you know, we're not drinking shells. Sorry.
Hockey has its own science and strategy. For every play, there's a counterplay.
He's got a point.
And apparently that's Germany. Oh, I'm not going to let you live that one down, Teddy. I'm sorry. Let's see.
So since we had that abrupt, you know, screeching halt.
Yeah, is there anything else from the juniors anybody wants to bring up?
No, but I would like to get back to the Gophers a little bit.
All right, yeah. Sounds good.
Isaacson had a top 10 on SportsCenter last night.
Okay.
One of the Gophers' goals against Notre Dame made, you know, how often you see hockey on SportsCenter top 10 to begin with, and let alone having it be a college team.
Exactly. Well, it kind of helps that, yeah.
There's no.
That's the main game for hockey right now.
Oh, then again, ESPN will play college hockey.
Yes, they do.
It was a pretty goal. And Wilcox, though, has still been a powerhouse. I mean, I'm not sure. Is he freshman or sophomore this year?
Oh, good God. You know, I'm not even
freshman.
Sure.
He is a freshman. So I think he's got a pretty healthy career ahead of him.
The one thing I was going to bring up about Grimaldi before we got derailed on Germany.
Grimaldi, sorry. Grimaldi, right?
Total redshirt freshman, so he's not even playing for the Fighting Sioux right now.
Oh, really?
Properly. He's a redshirt freshman.
Well, maybe
so
should,
we wouldn't even see him.
Maybe he should pray for Jesus a little bit more.
He might have gotten a little promotion off of that win, except those were his only goals for the whole series.
Right, and I know I know there's a thread following on Reddit following the World Juniors, the gold medal game, and I posted just offhand. Because after Grimaldi, I think he had like a in-between periods interview.
Okay.
And he, with not NBC, but NHL Network or whatever, whoever is covering it. And he's like, I just want to praise Jesus, and I want to thank Jesus for giving me the gift of scoring goals and blah, blah, blah. And I just offhand on Reddit, I was like, so he's like the Tebow on ice.
Dude, why is he praying to the dishwasher at my work?
And then someone, and I swear to God, someone on Reddit posted a picture of Grimaldi doing the bending down on one knee like Tebow on ice in the green and black. It is the best thing ever. I was like, wow, I was a throwaway at that point for me. And I was
you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable!
Yep, apparently he does.
That's how Jesus walks on water. He lets it freeze first.
Man. Wow, we went from actually trying to be less offensive. I think we're actually managing to be more offensive, even though we're swearing so much less. Oh, wow.
Jesus doesn't walk, he skates.
Okay, so we lost all our German listenership, and now all the Christians. Okay. I got to figure out. Oh, and I probably pissed off all the Latino or Spanish-speaking community.
Well, you know, we're downing the Germans, so I think we might still have the Jews on our side.
A shot, a save. We can breathe again. That's hockey. That's our game.
I really miss when Kenny was pushing the buttons. I mean, sure, they weren't as appropriate, but he wasn't talking.
As much.
Admittedly, he did still have a mic in front of him.
Are we going to be able to release this episode?
Yeah, we'll still.
You know, for all those Jewish hockey players out there,
can we talk about white hockey players? We might as well alienate our white audience while we're at it.
We kind of did. Okay, wow.
Is that all of our audience?
Oh, shit.
I don't even know where to start right now.
All right.
Let's see. Where are we at? Did we get into the cap? Were we going to talk more about the cap and the whole amnesty?
Yeah.
Well, we can wait on that for half a second.
Aaron's taking care of some stuff. but
I've got a quick rundown then. I'll just read through the cap. If you don't have anything you want to bring up, I can run down
in
the top
national
list.
News, I just wanted to bring up Brian Burke of Toronto Maple Leafs, the GM, got fired today.
Really?
Kind of a shock, I think, amongst most of the NHL community.
Why? They've been hind tip for how long?
Well, he's been with them since 08, I believe, and it seems kind of weird to fire him what would be mid-season, but also B, right after.
Right now.
Well, technically, yes, but also the fact that they fired him right before the season technically started up after a lockout. Just kind of a shock amongst a lot of people.
Total.
It's still, the Leafs haven't been really holding their own for a long time.
This is true. I think the timing is
the timing's the biggest issue, I believe, is, you know, why after, you know, all this crap just went down, fire him. I think he was still the assistant to the president or something like that, is what I said.
He gets to retain some sort of position.
Here's one of the questions somebody asked me that I had no idea the answer to, and I didn't remember to look it up till just now. Are the coaches even allowed to communicate with the players?
Now or?
Prior to a CBA?
No.
Okay.
No, because the coaches are, technically, they're not union.
They're more front office.
They're team staff.
They're team staff. They're not union.
The only caveat would be if the player is on IR.
Fair enough.
So the Wild were able to talk with PMB during the whole lockout.
I don't remember what Canadian city it was in, but there was even a thing where the players couldn't even go into the bar. I don't know if you guys
because
read that.
Because the owners were there? Or?
No, because...
Because the bar was owned by the team.
Bar was owned by the team.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it was...
I want to say Calgary or Toronto, but I don't know.
I want to say Toronto.
Yeah, where they weren't even allowed... You know, it was like the team bar, the place that they all the guys hung out at after the games and pre... Not really pre-games, but after the games and whatnot, and they weren't even allowed in there to get served.
You know, again. Now let's see. Do we blame Bettman for that one or Daly, or do we say the Fair Brothers at that point? I mean,
I just say blame Bettman on it all.
Go,
so I mean,
go safe.
Most everybody seems to think that out of the owner side, the only one who hasn't come out smelling of fecal matter is Daly.
No, yeah,
Daly's done a good job of communicating.
Daly's been pretty straightforward with everybody.
Even though he was the one who was the famed, this is the hill we're going to die on with the 5-year contract limits. Lo and behold, they didn't stick to that and they didn't die on that hill. They moved to 7 and 8, depending on if it was a team controlled player or not for the contract limits.
Yep.
So it's like, it's all hyperbole, you know.
It's,
Daly was, I mean...
He still came out a lot better than Bettman.
anyone compared to Bettman comes out better in this situation, really.
Fair enough.
Going off of that, Aaron, do you want to bring up and kind of explain what's going on with the salary cap and
little
the retention?
Known behind the scenes, we gave Aaron some homework to make sure he was well-versed on this.
Yeah, so as part of the CBA, teams are getting amnesty buyouts because eventually here, the cap's going to shrink a bit over the next couple years, and not a whole lot, but teams are going to be in trouble if they maintain their current salaries and they don't have the extra room.
Yeah.
So as part of the CBA, teams are allowed to buy out a contract, I believe it's 2 contracts per season, I think for at least the next 2 years.
Was it 2? Did they settle on 2? Because I thought it was maybe just next year. This year they were going to let them float and then...
Right, it might just be next year, but it's...
I'm going to let you finish first.
It's next year or 2. And so basically what will happen is that money will not count against the cap, whatever they buy out. So player A is making $1 million a year. For the next 3 years, they buy him out. That money won't count against the cap, but it will count against hockey-related revenue in the player's portion. So the players are still being counted against it. That player is now a free agent, but it's not going to hurt that team in their cap space.
This smells kind of familiar.
Well, so basically they could buy out player A that has a 3-year contract at $1 million a year, re-sign him for, say, $650,000 a year.
And the cap hit will be lower.
The cap hit will be lower, but he still retains his money.
And he's actually getting more than he would have initially anyway.
But the team also has an extended amount of time to pay him off, correct?
Yes. That original contract is still there, so they could
pay that over the 3 years. If I remember correctly, it actually extends the amount of time they have to pay it off.
From my understanding, it'd be like if he got traded and they were still under contract to pay him for a few years, where they'd be picking up part of that pay.
but not required to pay it off in the original time frame. I want to say they have double the time frame, much like when RisePro did that to Parrish right after the last lockout.
Yeah, because I think, aren't the Wild still paying on Parrish?
Yes.
Yeah, they were given a full decade to pay off. They had double the amount of time of the contract to pay it off on the buyout, but it was freed up entirely.
Which that does not hit their salary cap, but it does go against their revenue.
Exactly.
And Parrish is actually still getting paid next year as well. So,
yep.
And oh, yeah. It's actually looking at it right now.
Because that would be the 10th year, if I remember correctly.
And that, and actually, I think the buyouts with that go against the salary cap, though, don't they?
I thought so.
No, because the whole excuse of getting rid of Parrish right after signing the contract was to make room under the cap.
Yeah, because they're paying him less, but they're still paying him.
It did not count towards the cap at all.
That I'm not sure about.
Okay, so the big question here is, we've got these contracts that teams are going to be buying out. Which of the contracts that are out there for the Wild are they going to look at buying out?
Oh, really? You're going to make me have to look at this, gosh.
I know.
Hence,
I would have had this pulled up already.
For those of you listening at home, capgeek.com is phenomenal about looking at contract lengths and what players are getting paid.
So, I mean, there's a few contracts that you know the Wild aren't going to be buying out. They're not going to be buying out Parisi. They're not going to be buying out Suter. They're not going to be buying out Koivu because they're too long, too expensive, and it's a stupid move. However, some of these shorter contracts that are for the next 2 years that might be players that are overvalued or might...
Like, say, Denny Heatley.
Heatley could be a strong
Heatley,
one.
Heatley, yeah.
My thought, and it's kind of a-hole move, but is Harding. He's recently diagnosed with MS.
Yep.
I mean,
he's got 1.9
over the next 3 years. Who knows how effective he's going to be after this season, because he's going to be struggling. He's got a disease. I mean...
Yeah, it's a degenerative condition. And syndrome, there's going to be a point where he'll have to stop playing. Will that, however, fall under the pension arrangements that the players stood staunch on?
But how confident do the Wild feel in playing him, in counting on him as a backup goalie?
Valid point.
You know?
I'm looking right now, and yes, I see Danley Heatley too, if he's not going to put up the numbers.
But at the same point, you're paying a lot of money for someone not to be skating for you.
Or, I mean...
You know,
yeah, very much so.
I mean, you got a few other guys that you could probably toss out there. Torrey Mitchell, he's making almost $2 million a year. We got a lot of young forwards waiting in Houston.
Brodziak is almost at $3 million a year.
Brodziak
and he's got a decent amount of length. He's got, 3 years after this year left on his contract?
2 years. After this year,
I'm really nervous about Clutterbuck, even though he's a low pay comparatively to a lot of the team members.
But he's RFA, so I don't know if the RFAs that are coming up will be counted.
No, because at that point they're going to be writing up a new contract for him that would be under the new CBA.
And yeah, no, that's a good point. So we're looking at anyone who's signed for 13-14 at this point. Daryl Powell. You know,
yep.
You look at any of these guys. I mean, they're not going to make a big cap impact, but
PMB they might not buy out, but they might just do this injury prone. They'll probably just let him go, though.
Yeah, they'll probably let him go.
I mean, even Tom Gilbert, who only has a year, he's still got a four mil hit on him.
But you got to figure they're going to keep him because that's the weakest part of the Wild is the D line.
Right
now, that's
for
sure.
Potentially, I mean, it could very well.
There's lack of depth at the defensive
very much so. It's not like what we had, you know, a few years back when we had Burns and a few other making motions, sorry.
Yeah, I just see the shadows because I'm not looking in the right direction. One thing, you know, while we're on the subject, I just wanted to do a quick call out. everybody heard that Burns actually is out right now, right?
No, I did not hear that.
Yep, groin injury, trying to remember, I want to say it was actually lower abdomen, herniation in the lower abdomen, but it's definitely something to just think about and go, oh, one of our favorites, son of a, because he was
I still like
one
Brent
of the original
Burns.
Boys, yeah, he was town favorite, no home favorite here in Minnesota.
You know, definitely another hurt to California is Anzi Kopitar is out for 3 weeks.
Yep.
As of, I think, late last week.
Yep. So, but that's at least a different team. And on that, Timu Solani on January 3rd did actually prognosticate that the lockout would be announced being over on Monday the 7th.
Last little bit of lockout, player lockout news before we move on. Milan Mišalek got a call. I don't know if you guys had heard this. It's kind of a funny story. He was on the bus going to another game. I'm not exactly sure where he was playing. I thought it was maybe KHL or somewhere Eastern Europe.
Yeah, he was definitely, I want to say he was KHL.
I think so.
He got a call while they were on the bus traveling, told the bus driver to drop him off at the next gas station. Jumped off the bus, grabbed his gear, made a call, had one of his buddies pick him up, got dropped off at the next train station, and proceeded on to a plane to get back into work. But I have seen reports of a few players saying that they're going to retain their KHL contracts throughout the year.
Yep.
I don't think any of the big all-stars we have to worry about. I'm pretty sure Ovechkin's coming back. And
did Ovechkin even really play much?
Oh, yeah. Ovechkin ended up breaking glass.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, we talked about that on the last show.
Ovechkin, and same thing with Malkin, I believe, is coming back.
Malkin's a given. I know Kovalchuk has been kind of not exactly... he hasn't come back yet, but...
Maybe it's Kovalchuk that is going to possibly be staying with the KHL.
There's some doubt there, and if he doesn't come back, that devastates the Devils. But
absolutely, well, yeah, the Devils just lost Parisi to us,
right?
Yep,
and Kovalchuk, yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how things all kind of wash out. I mean, the NHL and the KHL have a deal where KHL will release guys that
they can do a temporary signing if there's a stoppage of play in the NHL.
Right. But basically, the KHL is honoring NHL contracts.
I think that was pretty much the same thing with the ECHL. The players that were able to play in the AHL, which obviously are the minor league affiliates to the NHL team, so that's kind of a given. But same thing with like the Swedish elite, the Finnish elite, and the European leagues in general. I mean, I think there's pretty much that understanding, as long as the players had the correct insurance to go over there and play.
Right.
And I think if they didn't, I believe that the NHL won't even honor their contracts when they came back. There are some issues with that as well.
Well, I mean, this will be a good test of that that agreement. So,
all right.
Do we have any other items?
Oh, I got high school hockey pulled up and ready.
Oh.
We got anything else we want to do before or after that? I can't.
Well, I mean, you know, we were talking about that. Starting lines for the Wild, or possible lineups for the Wild coming up. You know, I'm kind of curious to see how bad, this is kind of a big presumption, but if the Wild make playoffs and or a Stanley Cup, how bad the other fans are going to ostracize.
Use your words, Kenny.
Yes.
Use your words.
Ostracize. Thank you. Us fans for loving our beloved Wild for having a stacked line in a short season.
Okay. Semi-valid point. They were already starting to spend the money and make things happen. And that had been going on for a couple of seasons at this point. I mean, it wasn't like it was something new. They were actually, as space opened up on the roster while maintaining youthful players, they were pulling in the veterans that would put up more numbers. So it's kind of hard to say that, but it is going to suck if we actually end up playing for the Cup this year and the names go on with an asterisk.
You never want to see the asterisk next to a Cup or any championship.
And there's no one to stop it because there are no officials on the ice.
Exactly. Which, yeah, that's just going to be a just giant bag of dicks, because this, of course, would be, you know, the year that we probably would.
Oh.
Damn it.
Latest that I saw is Kovalchuk is still listed as KHL All-Star, only NHL player on the roster.
Oh.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, Yeah, he's the only one that's scheduled to play on January 13th for the KHL All-Star Game. Mm-hmm.
All right, real quick, state hockey, we did talk about that quite a bit. In Class AA, I'm just going to give the, I might write down the full top 10 because there's some surprises in there. Hill Murray is still in number one, hasn't moved in a while, 12-1-0. Yeah. Edina Hornets are 12-3-0 right now, sitting in number two. Benilde St. Margaret's 9-3-0, sitting in number three. Wyzetta Trojans 11-2-0. They're actually moving down the list right now. Number two just, a game ago? I want to say just before the Tuesday night game. Number five, the Eagan Wildcats, 10-2-0. They're also down from number four right now. Number six spot is Minnetonka with 8-3-1. They're up from seven. Duluth East dropped down from six to number seven, now at 8-4-0.
Wow, I think that's probably the worst I've heard Duluth East do in a long time.
Centennial Cougars are up from the 10th spot all the way to the 8th. 10-3-0 is their current record. Still maintaining the 9th seat spot is the Blaine Bengals. And the Burnsville Blaze are down to number 10 from number 8 at 7-6-1. Do you guys want me to run through Class A or no?
A few surprises with Class AA in the top 10, but overall,
not many.
Overall, I would say the top 5 are what I would expect on a pretty much yearly basis for Minnesota hockey.
I tend to agree with you. Seeing Blaine in the mix actually threw me off quite a bit. It's been a while.
Blaine and Duluth East as far down as they are.
Yeah, but, well, Blaine, I kind of guessed to be down that far. I almost didn't expect him to be up that high, to be fair.
Let's give the just run down the teams in. Let's run down the teams in A.
In Class A? All right, let's see. Ranked number one right now, of course, is St. Thomas Academy, 10-1-0, still maintaining number one.
Not surprised.
East Grand Forks Green Wave is currently in number two, up from number three. They're 11-0-2. Breck is number three. Their record is 8-2-1. They just dropped to that. Hermantown, 10-2-1, is sitting in the fourth seat spot. Totino Grace is in the fifth seat with 7-2-1. They're down from number two. War Road is number sitting in the sixth seed, up from number eight. Rochester Lords is sitting in the seventh. Duluth Marshall is eighth. Duluth Denfield, actually, surprise, tied for 10th. They just pulled a couple of miracles out of their butts, and they're tied with St. Cloud Cathedral.
Nothing too shocking, least with the top 10s on either A or double A, and very much looking forward to the tourneys.
Denfield, I thought, was actually kind of a surprise.
Yeah. It's not a team that you'd normally hear going into the playoffs, but we got some time yet.
Yeah, current point leader, of course, is still Jared Christian, and Mitchell Swanson is still leading in so far as goals. So,
all right,
yay! So, I guess do we have anything else to talk about?
I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm trying to look through and see if I missed anything off my notes.
That was no goal, you know. They was in the crease.
No, I think that pretty much takes care of it for the week.
Okay, well, I might as well end out with this story. Ren Blair, the very first head coach of the North Stars, the expansion North Stars, in the 67-68 season, has recently passed away. He was 87. It was all before any of our time. I mean,
yeah,
there ain't gonna be no BSing about that.
No, I mean,
that's just the way it is. However,
when was his last season again?
Well, he basically bounced around.
I know he stayed in the office for a bit and was working with Nanny,
and then he went on to become the president of the Penguins. From 75 to 77.
Okay, so he was president of the Penguins, probably just moved into that position right as I was born.
And then, same here. And then in 89, he stepped up and bought the OHL's Kingston Raiders and saved that franchise from leaving town.
Wow, true hockey guy.
True hockey guy.
Let's do a quick cheers and to a passing of one of the important people to Minnesota hockey.
Well, hockey in general.
And hockey in general, yes.
Without him, the path of the North Stars may have been a little different.
Quite a bit different, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Although on another heartfelt, warming note, to maybe brighten this up before we leave, the Gophers and Notre Dame together had packaged, was it like over 22,000 meals, the two hockey teams today?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
For charity. Yeah. Nice. Good for those guys.
Yes.
I'm good. A big fan. It's a good show.
Definitely. So are we.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, I think that pretty much takes us out. Let's say goodnight, gentlemen.
Kenny, signing off.
This is Aaron. You can follow me at AaronGP on Twitter.com.
And, yeah, this is Meat Beast. Once again, thank you very much for listening. I'm sure Jive's waving goodbye behind me right now to all you listeners at home.
He says goodbye.
And hopefully you'll come back and listen to us as we keep going. We are being a little more Minnesota-centric, and hopefully you appreciate that. Let us know with any feedback on Facebook or our Twitter, which I might still be under Pucking Drunk. Now we are being three in the box.
And we've got a Twitter account, so.
Thank you for listening.